In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Just a small sharing. I don't know if you feel the same, but I feel like the Apostles' Fast is almost coming to an end, and it's flying by. And we still want to talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. I was trying to be obedient and do a quiet time or a half-day retreat on Monday, and God gave me a very encouraging message, and I thought it wouldn't be fair if I just kept it to myself and not shared it with you. So it was a very, very encouraging message. I'm doing a study on the tabernacle, and we kind of have a homework every day. And because I don't keep up with the homework, I did it all in this day. And it's basically a Bible study about how when God asked Moses to build the tabernacle, and how the tabernacle means God wanting to be with us, and God wanting a unity with us, and a love relationship with us. And I'll tell you in a minute what I got this Monday. But before I start, I wanted to ask, what season are we in again? Just in case someone doesn't know. The Apostles' Fast. What are we supposed to be thinking about and doing during the Apostles' Fast? Louder. Louder so I can hear you. I hear the Holy Spirit. But what about the Holy Spirit? Asking help from the Holy Spirit? To focus on service? To ask the Holy Spirit to empower us in the service? Yes, so it's definitely the work of the Holy Spirit in the servants. That's what the Apostles' Fast is all about. Okay. You know, in the Old Testament, a few people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can number them and just kind of count them by name. And sometimes, most of the time, the Holy Spirit would come on someone in the Old Testament to give them a mission, a job to do, and then the Holy Spirit would depart from them. But all those who experienced the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament were very, very happy and knew the value of the Holy Spirit within them. But in the New Testament, how is it different? It's permanent. The Holy Spirit is in us till we die, because God is committed to unite with us till death does us part, yani, and even afterwards, unless we continuously quench the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will not leave us till the day we die. Okay? That's the difference. So today we're going to read in Exodus 31 from verse 1 to 11. And it's the story when God started choosing people to do the work of the tabernacle. Okay, so I want someone to read it slowly and fast. Can you guys read it? I know it's very small. Just wanted to fit it in one page. Can someone see it and volunteer to read?
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and understanding, and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, and silver, and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons, to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do."
Okay, I have questions for you, and all the answers are up there. Very easy. What's the name of this guy God chose? Bezalel. Okay, and who chose him? I want to hear it louder. Who chose him? God. Every question I'm asking has to do with the passage and has to do with us. So it has to do with who chose us for the ministry. Who chose him and who chose us? Okay, God. With what did God fill him? The spirit of? The spirit of God. God filled him with the spirit of God. Why? Why did God fill him with the spirit of God? Why did he fill him with his Holy Spirit? It's all up there. Very good. To design artistic works. Okay. And what was the role of all the people God chose? What was the role of all the people God chose to do the artistic work beside Bezalel? To work on what? The answer is there. I just want you to read me the part. To make all God commanded them. To make all God commanded them. So basically, when we talk about the service, when we talk about you and I, we need to see ourselves just like this man. This man had no skill of his own, because if he had any skill of his own, what would have happened? He wouldn't need the Spirit of God to give him all the strength and the wisdom he needs, right? And what was the role again? What's our role? To make all what God commanded us. So I want you to look at this man and see how this man, God chose him by name. And we'll discuss why God chose him by name. And he chose a few others. And he gave him the spirit to do the work. And what else? And God had a specific plan for him. Okay? Let's move for a second to King David. King David, when he sinned, King David was anointed by the Holy Spirit to become king. And after he sinned, he begged God of something. What did he beg him not to do? Do not take... Are you sleeping today? Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do to me anything. Punish me in any way. But do not take the Holy Spirit from me. And he saw King Saul, and he saw how King Saul was before, and how God took the Spirit from King Saul after he kept rebelling. So he knew what it meant to take the Holy Spirit from him, so he begged him and he told him, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And he knew the difference. Another amazing example that I really definitely learned this week. If you look at Samson was chosen by God to lead the children of Israel, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he did not realize when the Holy Spirit left him. He did not realize it. And all of a sudden, you know the story, he lost his strength. The Philistines were around him, and he thought normally that, as usual, he thought that the power was within him, that the power was his. He totally forgot that the power was God. And he went and he found that he has no strength and that the spirit had left him. And from there, we learn that basically sometimes we go about in the service and we kind of believe sometimes, because God has been empowering us in the service for so long, that we believe it's me. It's in me. And we don't want to reach to the point that Samson reached, that one day he woke up and he found he has no strength whatsoever. So all the power and all the strength that was in Samson, that's in me and that's in you, it's God himself. It's God himself in me and in you doing the work. Who can carry those gates and walk and do all those things that Samson did? Samson cannot. And here was Samson away from God. So basically there is an amazing power inside us, and God gives each one of us differently for reasons he knows, just as he gave Bezalel. He gave him a specific talent for a specific mission. He gives each one of us a specific skill for a specific mission. And it is his. Okay? And we need to really, really root this deep down inside us, that it is his. So was Bezalel a leader? Was he a prophet? What was he? He was just a simple wage earner. Yani, he works with his hands. That's all he did. Okay. Well, now we're going to discuss about what we learned from this man. Number one, that he was God's servant. He was God's laborer. Can someone read for us 1 Corinthians 3:9?
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building.
So what are we? We are God's fellow workers. So we are not leaders or kings or prophets over God's people, but we are just laborers, and we are just like Bezalel. You know, his name means the shadow of God. And I want you to focus on this and really, really ask yourself this question really honestly. The shadow of God means, if his name is the shadow of God, what can you envision in this man? What does he do? Stick to God. Hide under God. God is his umbrella. Okay? He's under kida, the shadow of God. He's sticking to God. And that's whom God chose to become a servant. Do I go in the service because I want a name for myself? I want to prove something to myself or to others? I want people to look at me? Am I doing it for any other reason except the reason that I want to be clinging to God, to be the shadow of God, to be God's fellow worker? Yani, I just want to be in the service, God, because I want to be with you. And I know if I'm in the service, I'm just hand in hand with you. And that's why God chose him. And usually God chooses us for the same reason, because God wants fellowship with us. And as we go through the tabernacle, you realize all what God wants this one-on-one. I want to tell you all about me, and I want to know all about you. Okay? So God puts us in the service for that only reason. And if our reason deteriorates to another reason, then we need to check our motives again. Why am I serving? Because my service needs to bring me close to God. Needs to do nothing else. And as I'm close to God, God will give me the Holy Spirit. God will give me the skill. God will give me the direction of exactly how to do the things that needs to be done. Like if you look at the things that Bezalel and his friends did, it's very, very fine art, detailed by measurements, by millimeters and centimeters. Everything is measured. And how did he get the skill? God gave it to him. It was very difficult work, but God did all the rest. That's number one. Number two, God give assignments beyond our capabilities. Like if you look at this man, if you look at your service, if you feel that your service is easy and it's not challenging and it's very in your comfort zone, it's probably not the service God called you to do. Most of the time God calls us in a service that is beyond us. So we are on our knees. So we are confused. So we are really, we don't know what to do. And basically we want to take directions from him. But if I know what to do and if I'm doing it, he gives us some easy days. But usually the ministry God puts me in has to be challenging for me. So God's job for us, as the Bible study, as Eugene was saying, yani, it was out of his league. That's why he had to empower him with the Holy Spirit. So if the service is out of your league, then you're in the right place. And if it's not challenging, then definitely you need to go somewhere else. Do you guys think that dealing with people's lives, their internal struggles, and eternal salvation, is it within our capabilities or beyond? I hope you know that it's beyond our capabilities. And And that's why, so we can acknowledge that the only one who can succeed in this is God. I don't know all these different people that I'm responsible for. I don't know how to reach out to each one, and each one needs a different skill in a different way, but it's beyond me, and that's why God gave me this ministry. God gives great attention to detail. And by this, I want you to know, and I hope you can really, really digest this as I digested it. When God gave all the details of the tabernacle, did Moses had to figure something out? Did Moses have to guess something? No. And in the ministry, you'll find that if you seek and if you ask God, He will give you, He has it all planned out. I have Dermin, I have George, I have Mina, every one of us by name. I called you by name. I have a ministry and a specific people or specific ministry for you to take care of in detail. He has it all planned out by millimeter and centimeter for every single one of us. And He will give us all the details, and He will. There is not one of them that we will guess. And all I need to do is make sure I am filled by His Spirit, and He will speak to me, and He will give me the direction. Okay, this second, I want you to do this. And this minute, I want you to do that. And you might be asking, how will He do this? I will tell you, just you'll find yourself doing it. If you're seeking to be in God's will, you will find yourself in God's will. If you earnestly seek to be filled and led by God's power in you, God's power in you will be working in you, and you will be doing exactly what God wants you to do day by day. And sometimes He doesn't tell us the whole, all the details of all what He wants us to do. I can take it a day at a time. Okay? So I hope that's very clear to you. And number four, God equips us to perform His assignments. Okay? So God empowered Bezalel to perform His assignment. God wants a job done right. God has a plan. God wants this responsibility to be done the right way. So who is He going to choose to do it? Your answer will be wrong. Who? Who did you say? It might be right. No. If God wants to have a job done right, if I do it, I will do it wrong. Him. Himself. If He wants a job to be done right, then He has to do it Himself, because He has something in His mind. If you have something in your mind, you really, and I'm sure all of you understand this very well, you don't delegate. If you have it clear in your mind, you prefer to do it yourself, because if you explain it to someone else, everyone will understand this very well, right? You have it very clear in your mind, and because you have it clear in your mind, you don't want to delegate. And God is the same thing, okay? Because He wants it to be done right. And that's why He says, He loves us, and He wants us to fellowship with Him. So He says, okay, I put My Spirit in you, and I will do it still, okay? So God is doing it, but He's doing it through us. So we are God's fellow workers. And how amazing is that? So God is doing the job, and He's using me as an instrument and as a tool. So when you work for God with your assignment comes the guarantee. With your assignment comes the guarantee that He will equip you. Okay? Abuna, I was going to give you a homework, but I didn't have time to prepare it. Basically, all the verses in the Bible that say that God's promises of how, when He gives us a responsibility, He equips us with all what we need to do this responsibility. But you guys are free, no homework. Number five. God wants us to work under authority of leadership. Let's read this together. I know. These are the only two readings I have today, don't worry. We're done. Someone can read it.
Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for there are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing.
Before we discuss this, I didn't put the other reading. It was Exodus 36 from verse 1 to 7, and it explains how when God chose Bezalel and his friends, after that, they went to Moses, and they took all their commands from Moses. And Moses was the one who would tell them what to do. Okay? And from there, we learn that we need to submit to authority. All of us as servants, we need to submit to authority. And usually we don't mind being under God's authority, right? Usually, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, we try to submit to God's authority. But we usually resist human authorities that God places over us. It's not easy to submit to human authority. Okay, so now I have some questions for you, and all the answers are up there. Who is addressed in this passage? Who is this passage addressing, talking to? Louder? Everybody, very good. Everybody. Every soul. To whom must they submit? To authorities. Why should they submit to authorities? Very good, because it is appointed by God. And God also commands us to do what for our authority? To pray for them. But I didn't put the verse. It's Timothy 2, 1 and 2. So our job with authorities is to submit to them and obey them and to pray for them. Okay? And that's what we learned today from this passage. So to be a vessel, all I need to do is, can you summarize? Number one, before submission, why did God choose this man? What was unique about him and his name? Very good. So what do I need to do? I need to be in the shadow of the Almighty. What do I need to be doing? I need to be seeking him and nothing else. Nothing else. Number two, that's a given. To be obedient and available. I think he chose him because he was obedient. He was willing to be obedient and to be available. So God chose all of you here, all of us, because he saw in us obedience and availability. Number three, to be submissive to authority. And number four, to always know that being filled with the Spirit is how far? Is one prayer away. What were you saying? The rest of our lives, yes. If I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit regularly and always led by the Holy Spirit and always like Bezalel and those people, I just need to be asking for the Holy Spirit to fill me. Okay? The verse I have for you, I'm going to conclude with this verse. Says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But I'm not sure how much all of us ask to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And that's really all we need to do. And then God inside us, just like Samson, will be doing what he called us to do. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any questions or comments?
To be shadow of God, not only stuck with God, but to be the image of God. Because the shadow should be image of God.
Any more?
I'm just wondering if we can apply these principles and these I guess these items to everything in our life. I mean, if I separate my ministry from everything else in my life, that doesn't make sense. If I'm working with God, I'm working with, if we're fellow workers, it's not just in this or in that.
Yeah, my answer would be that my life in general is a ministry. Like, I'm serving at home, at work, and in the ministry God called me to do. So everything, my whole life is really in God and with God. So it applies to all my life, yes. Like, God is concerned about every aspect of my life, not just my service life. So he has an answer of what he wants me to do every second if I ask him. He'll guide me in every second of my life, not just in my ministry. Good question. Any more comments or questions?
Okay, we'll conclude with a prayer now, and every group will meet, like you'll meet with your group, and small group leaders are going to meet with me here in the church up front, okay, after we conclude this prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you care so much about us, and that you desire to be with us so much, even though we're so unlovely and so unworthy of your presence with us, but you love us so much that you give us your very self. Lord, forgive us for all the times that we quench and grieve the Spirit inside of us, and help us, dear Lord, to be more in tune with you and to cling to you, and not just be close to you, but become like you in image and likeness in everything that we do. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from us, and do not ever cast us away from your presence, Lord, because it's the one thing in this world that we can't ever live without. We thank you because you love us, and we love you so much, Lord. Inflame the passion and love inside our hearts for you. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the intercessions and prayers of all of your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.